Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumisha Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Day 170 of the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza. The Israeli regime's relentless bombardment and shelling continues to claim innocent lives in the besieged Palestinian territory. And Rafah Palestinians have been mourning the loss of their loved ones killed in the Israeli airstrikes in the southern city.
I heard the news around 2:15 in the morning that these people were killed. I went to the house and we helped other people and recovered children. We pulled three children from beneath the rubble and they are in the European hospital now and my son is with them. These are the crimes of the occupying Israeli regime in the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan. The children who have nothing to do with anything, have nothing to do with any organization on this land, these are innocent people.
The Gaza Health Ministry says 84 Palestinians lost their lives in Israeli strikes in a matter of 24 hours. The death toll from the U.S.-backed genocide in Gaza since October the 7th was now surpassed by 32,200, most of them women and children. Also, 1 million displaced Palestinians are currently sheltering in the southern city of Rafah, which is located on the border with Egypt. Israel has also vowed to go ahead with the ground invasion of Rafah, despite international warnings that it would severely aggravate the already catastrophic situation of Palestinians. Our correspondent Muti Abu Musabe says Israeli forces are stepping up their attacks on the Gaza Strip, leaving behind more civilian casualties.
The Israeli occupation forces continue to maintain their strikes and attacks against several areas of Gaza Strip, inflicting more destruction and death among the people and among the residential areas and buildings across all areas of Gaza Strip. Let's begin with Rafah City, whereas the Israeli occupation warplanes carried out several relentless airstrikes against the residential buildings, particularly in Al-Brazil neighborhood located in the eastern part of the city, whereas at least seven Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed, including women and children, while dozens are still trapped under the rubble of those destroyed houses. In the meantime, the Israeli military boats opened their gunfire towards the coastal area of Deir el-Balah city. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, the Israeli occupation forces also continued their strikes. Many belts of fire were carried out by the Israeli occupation forces against the western parts of the city and even the eastern part of the city amid the heavy bombardment of the Israeli artillery that reached the east and the west and the center of the city. In the meantime, the Israeli special forces actually attempted to sneak out towards the surrounding areas of the Nasser Medical Complex. However, the Palestinians uncovered that special force and engaged and fierce clashes with it.
Moving on, another Israeli soldier has been killed in clashes with Palestinian resistance fighters inside the besieged Gaza Strip. The Israeli military said the 21-year-old staff sergeant was killed in central Gaza. His death brings to 2,052 the number of Israeli soldiers killed in Gaza since the regime began its ground invasion of the blockaded territory in November. Palestinian resistance groups, however, say the actual number is much higher. They say the regime undercounts its losses for fear of the Israeli public's anger. UN Chief Antonio Guterres has renewed calls for a ceasefire in Gaza, saying that the besieged Palestinian territory needs a flood of aid.
Looking at Gaza, it almost appears that the four horsemen of war, famine, conquest, and death are galloping across it. And that is why the time for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire is now. And in the Ramadan spirit of compassion, I also urge the immediate and unconditional release of hostages. The suffering must end. Palestinians in Gaza desperately need what has been promised, a flood of aid.
Guterres was speaking following talks with Egypt's president and foreign minister in Cairo. The UN chief said the only effective way to ramp up aid delivery to Gaza is by road. He also called for Israel's firm commitment to allow aid to reach all parts of the besieged territory. Guterres is visiting Egypt and Jordan as part of an annual Ramadan solidarity tour to Muslim countries. On Saturday, he toured Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt. The crossing is the only access point where aid trucks can enter Gaza, but they are stuck on Egypt's side of the border as Israel continues to block aid from entering Gaza, where people are starving. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank are also suffering from growing Israeli violence. In the latest such acts, Israeli forces abducted over a dozen Palestinians across the West Bank, while scores of settlers raided the Al-Aqsa compound in occupied Al-Quds. For more details, we are now joined by our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandel. Mona.
Unfortunately, Israeli aggression against Palestinians here in the occupied West Bank continue and even escalate. The Israeli forces storm Palestinian areas on a daily basis. This morning, the Israelis had arrested at least 15 Palestinians from across the occupied West Bank. The majority of those Palestinians were detained in Jenin and as well as Al-Khalil in the village of Al-Liban Al-Gharbi, north Ramallah. And the majority of those who had been arrested by the Israeli forces were former prisoners. Even of those Palestinian prisoners and former prisoners finished their sentences and they were released several years ago. However, we have been noticing that the Israeli forces were immediately storming the houses of ex-Palestinian prisoners and arresting them, as well as family members of Palestinian prisoners who are still incarcerated in Israeli jails. We have to mention that the Israeli forces continue to deploy more Israeli soldiers at the military checkpoints at the entrances to the Palestinian villages, as well as at the checkpoints that separate between the Palestinian areas, like central, the occupied West Bank is separated from the north as well as from the south. We also have to mention that the entrances to the city of Ariha, also known as Jericho, had been completely closed. Since the start of the 7th of October, Israeli forces had closed the entrances to Ariha completely, but then they gradually reopened them. However, today the Israeli military just decided to extract the measures there and to close the majority of the entrances to the city of Ariha. As you have mentioned, the Israeli settlers, had stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex today. Over 100 Israeli settlers stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex as well as they were celebrating one of their Jewish holidays known as Purim, or in the as the Jews know them as the Sukkot feast. Of course, we are speaking about over 100 Israeli settlers protected and supported by the Israeli forces. At the same time, the Palestinian Muslims are not allowed to enter Al-Quds or Al-Aqsa. West Bank residents are completely denied access to Al-Aqsa or entering Al-Quds only on Fridays, with women above the age of 50 and men above the age of 55 and after getting Israeli issued permits. And the Palestinians living in Al-Quds are not easily allowed entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque for prayers during the holy month of Ramadan, while the Israelis prevent the youth and the young men from freely entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Thank you very much. That was the latest from our correspondent, Mona Kandel, who joined us live from Ramallah, the West Bank, where Israeli forces have also abducted Palestinians, dozens of Palestinians there. And the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has been engaged in fighting with the Israeli regime on Lebanon's southern border since the onset of the Gaza war in early October. Hezbollah says it aims to support Palestinian resistance fighters battling against Israeli forces in Gaza In the latest development, Hezbollah has launched several rockets at Israeli positions in the occupied Golan Heights. Maryam Saleh joined us earlier to give us more details from Beirut.
A general rule that once the Israelis go beyond the scope of the rules of engagement or the limited geographic scope which Hezbollah has drawn from the beginning of the confrontation, we notice that Hezbollah directly retaliates by using Katyusha rockets, by using longer range rockets or issues that or a bigger number of rockets, if you may say, on areas that are further away from the border with Lebanon. And so we notice how there were 60 rockets that reached the settlement of Yawaf, and specifically the barracks in the Golan Heights. And here in Keilah specifically, Hezbollah mentioned in their statements that that rocket attack specifically coincided with a training session and exercise for the elite forces, the Golani elite forces of the Israelis. And they also mentioned in the statement that they had just returned from Gaza, and therefore they were conducting an exercise. And so that in itself is a clear message from Hezbollah to the Israelis that Hezbollah does have the intel they need in order to know the movement of the Israelis. They are able to know which unit came back from Gaza, what exactly they were doing in that area. And so Hezbollah also seemed to mention that perhaps there could be inflicted heavy losses upon that force specifically, but also that tells the Israelis that in any future confrontation, the Israelis have always thought that they are superior when it comes to intelligence, and with the fact that they do have the upper hand with their air force and so on, and their many radars and their intelligence units and their drones. But Hezbollah is also telling the Israelis that they can also deal a very heavy blow on the intelligence in that regard as well. And so therefore, this in itself is very significant, not only militarily, but also when it comes to the intelligence factor.
And Russia is observing a national day of mourning following the deadliest terror attack in the country in two decades. Mourners have been laying flowers at the site in Moscow where the deadly assault happened. President Vladimir Putin has called the incident a barbaric terrorist attack. Putin said all the perpetrators, organizers, and those who ordered such a crime will be, quote, justly punished. On Friday, gunmen stormed Moscow's Kharkiv City Hall, opened fire, and torched the building. At least 137 people have been killed and more than 100 are wounded. Moscow's governor says the death toll is expected to rise as some of those injured are in critical condition. Russia has arrested 11 people in connection with that attack.
Russian President Vladimir Putin addressed the nation after the deadly attack in Moscow, which killed dozens of civilians. The president denounced the massacre as a bloody and barbaric terrorist attack, as he declared March 24 a national day of mourning. At least 11 suspects, including four perpetrators who directly participated in the shooting spree, have been arrested. The four direct perpetrators were detained in Bryansk region. According to the intelligence service, the terrorists planned to cross the Russian-Ukrainian border. The Russian president vowed to punish all involved in the massacre.
All the perpetrators, organizers, and customers of this crime will suffer fair and inevitable punishment, whoever they are, whoever guides them. I repeat, we will identify and punish everyone who stands behind the terrorists, who prepared this atrocity, this attack on Russia, on our people.
The Daesh Takfiri terror group claimed responsibility, but Moscow has dismissed the claim, asserting that investigation is still underway to ascertain the main culprits. Russia's security service says the Moscow attackers had contacts in Ukraine supporting them. During interrogation, a detained terrorist said he was promised 5,000 rubles to carry out the terrorist attack. He claimed he watched a certain preacher on Telegram, and allegedly his assistant contacted the man.
The perpetrators are ignorant, illiterate people who will commit any crime for money. The question is different. Where is the planning center? Not a single international organization can act in the international arena, especially in a state like Russia
where there are strong power structures. Performers can be found anywhere through the agents. We went through this experience in Chechnya. This once again convinces us that international terrorist structures are the work of the CIA and Western intelligence services.
The attack, which came amid Ukraine's war with Russia, was the deadliest in the country since the Beslan school siege in 2004. After Friday's attack, Putin held discussion with his Belarusian counterpart Alexander Lukashenko. Both leaders confirmed their readiness to work together in the fight against terrorism.
In his address, President Putin said Moscow attackers were preparing to flee towards Ukraine, where a window had been prepared for them with the help of Ukraine. Now it remains to be seen how Russia is going to react to the massacre, which came in a very volatile region and amid its war against Ukraine. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 24th, 2024. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Hector, Fria, Jofre from Chile, from Chandra, Sagur from India, and from Ratan Kumar Paul from India, one of our old and regular listeners. So Hector, Chandra, and Ratan, thank you very much for sending these reception reports to us. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to IRIB English Radio because it helps us to promote the quality of our programs. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. So let's see who has sent us email from around the world. Here we've received an email from Chandra Sagur from India, Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh, who is one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. And again, from India, we've received an email from Shivandapol. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is another edition of Listeners Special. And did you know that the sky on Mars appears pink? It's very exciting. I wish I could travel to Mars and produce a report from the pink sky on the Mars for you. Well, now that I can't travel to Mars, let me take you to a beautiful lake in Fars province, southern Iran. Believe it or not, this lake in Iran is pink. The name of this lake is Maharlu. Stay with us, please. I will talk about Maharlu Lake more. So, I was saying, Maharlu Lake is one of the lakes of Fars province in southern Iran. This lake is located 20 kilometers southeast of Shiraz, and its area is 600 square kilometers. The longest part of this lake is 28 kilometers, while the widest part of it is 15 kilometers. Its deepest part also reaches 3 meters. Maharlu Lake is very salty, and it is considered as one of the largest mineral deposits in the dry seasons of the year in Iran. This lake feeds from three seasonal rivers, including Sultanabad, Sarvestan, and Khoshk rivers. The lake water typically evaporates by the end of summer and exposes the white lake bed. By mid-summer, and due to high evaporation rates and salt concentrations, the lake water turns pink as a result of the tide within the lake. So, later during the program, I will talk about Maharlu Lake more. So, I was saying, Chandra Sagur from India has sent us a piece of email. Chandra says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, a few days ago, I had the opportunity to listen to your broadcast in English. The music was so beautiful, and the reception in my place, Parganas, in India, was good. I hope you find my reception report to be of some use. If the details are correct, please verify with a printed or EQSL card. Thank you in advance. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, from Iran, and appreciations to you for writing to us at IRIB English Radio, Chandra Sagur from India. So, you have been able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in Parganas in India. It's a region in India. You listen to a piece of music which you found it very beautiful. That's great. Thank you for letting us know what you think about our programs. So, Chandra Sagur from India, please accept our electronic QSL as verification to your email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs and be one of our regular listeners. Thank you again, Chandra Sagur from India. So I was talking about Maharlu Lake, which turns pink in some seasons of the year. This lake is blue in the rainy seasons of the year. Maharlu Lake, due to its high salinity of water and abundant light, is growing algae, which is called Dunaliella salina. It creates a sort of organic beta-carotene that causes changes in the color of the lake into pink. Algae that lives in Salin turns Maharlulek to pink color, actually. This phenomenon usually happens during the month of May. Believe it or not, this lake appears pink, yes, a pinkish pink. Wonderful, extraordinary. The lake's shore is full of salt and looks white. This lake is home to an aquatic crustacean called Artemia. Flamingos love eating the Artemia. There are also other birds in Maharlulek. Some of them include heron, duck, and plover. Also, around the lake, animals like hyena, fox, and wild cats inhabit. And this diversity is really great. And it only exists in Iran, in beautiful Iran. So, let's see what Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh says. For your information, Mahfuzur Rahman is one of our old and regular listeners. Mahfuzur Rahman says, greetings from Bangladesh to all IRIB English radio staff and Iranian people on the occasion of the holy month of Ramadan. It's my pleasure to express my opinion on the occasion of the holy Ramadan. As a Muslim, I always wait for this holy month. Fasting in Ramadan helps us to strengthen our soul by regular prayers and donating to poor people of the community. In the other times of the year, we surely try to offer regular prayers, donate to poor people of the community as well. But it is in the holy month of Ramadan that we are advised to help fellow human beings even more. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh, on this beautiful Sunday of the holy month of Ramadan. Many thanks for writing to us, and many thanks for your beautiful description of the holy month of Ramadan. As you said, fasting in Ramadan helps us to strengthen our soul by regular prayers and donating to poor people of the community. An electronic QSL or EQSL will be sent to you very soon as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please pray for us. Welcome back. Shivan Paul from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. Shivan Paul says, greetings to all the staff and listeners of IRIB English Radio for the blessed month of Ramadan. We are regular listeners of your programs. The quality of your broadcast is very on your website are quite up-to-date and informative. We like your programs, news, and your other programs on current affairs. We are interested about culture, lifestyle of Iranian people, historical places, tourist attraction, and destination of Iran. Please send some program schedules and other items of IRIB English Radio for our club members. Salam and greetings from Tehran, from Iran. Please send our greetings to your club members. Shivan Paul from India. We are so grateful to you for this email. It's good to hear that you're pleased with the quality of the broadcast and you're interested in Iranian culture, in the lifestyle of Iranian people, in historical places, tourist attractions of Iran, and about the customs and traditions of Iran. Anyway, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Of course, an electronic QSL will soon be sent to you. As a confirmation to this email, please send our greetings to your club members, and we wish you all the best. And here we come to the end of our today's program, listeners special. And as you may know, we are basking in the Nowruz holidays these days. So I just wanted to send my felicitations to all Iranians and all the people in Farsi-speaking countries who celebrate Nowruz on this great occasion, which is a very ancient occasion and a very happy occasion. Congratulations on Nowruz. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
We started the commentary on one of the famous du'as that we recite every night in the month of Ramadan, known as Du'a Iftitah. And so I'll continue with that. And then we come into the fourth praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah alladhi la sharika lahu fi khalqihi wa la shabiha lahu fi azamatihi. He talked about Tawheed. He talked about his kingdom, that nobody is there. He is the absolute master. And then he singles down. He comes to one point. He says there is even no partner in creation. Khaliq is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no shariq there either. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about the examples which is there in the Quran, for example, of Isa ibn Maryam bringing the dead back to life, or the story of Ibrahim in the Quran, alayhi salam, where Allah told him, take four birds, cut them off, kill them, mix their, parts, spread them in different areas, and then call them, and they will become alive by your call. And they will come, flying to you. That's also creation, but that is bi-idhnillah, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why even if you look at the ayat about Isa ibn Maryam, when he talks about these issues, which are very extraordinary miracles, he uses the words bi-idhnillah. In other cases, he doesn't. But in these cases, he does this to emphasize that when it comes to khalq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any sharik. Yes, he can give that power and authority to the chosen ones, but that is by the will of Allah and the discretion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا شبيه له في عظمته. And there is no one like him in his greatness. This is very similar to this statement we see in many du'as. لَيْثَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. Absolutely nothing. You know, and this is a challenge for many Muslims also who read the Quran and they say, well, you know, Allah talks about his hand, he talks about his face. This ayat, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, is the decisive one. Allah doesn't have anybody, there is nothing like him, you know. And so whenever these words attributing body parts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are to be taken, in the words of our imams, in a symbolic sense. Yadullah, hand of Allah, means the power or generosity of Allah. Wajhullah, the face of Allah, means the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in the literal sense of hand or face. And the fifth praise in this early part of the dua, Alhamdulillahi al-fashif fil khalq amruhu wa hamduhu, al-zahir bil karam majduhu, al-basit bil judi yaduhu, al-ladhi la tanqusu khazainuhu wa la taziduhu kathratul ata illa judan wa karama innahu wal azizul wahab. This is one sense, you know, sentence in a way, a long one, where we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is the one whose command and praise is visible in the universe. Every day when the sun comes up, that is a sign of his power. When the sun goes down, it is a sign of his power. You know, we can be more advanced and advanced and advanced, but the system which is there in the universe is there. Again and again, it's declaring the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-zahir bil-karam majduhu, whose glory is evident through his generosity. You know, one of the du'as that we have in the month of Rajab, where we say that you are the one who provides for those who know you and ask for it. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُهُ. And also those who don't know you. That even they don't know him, they don't recognize him, they don't pray to him, but the blessings are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, take the example of rain. It doesn't see, only this area is a Muslim area, this is a mulhid and atheist. No. It just comes all over. You know, it's not that the houses are selected, the believers will have the rain and the non-believers will not have. And this is where we talk about, you know, his generosity itself. This is the evidence of his glory. Al-basit bil-judi yadahu. His hand is outstretched in generosity. Again, hand is not to be taken in a literal sense. You know, it just means, you know, there are people, you know, we say his hand is open. In a sense, he is generous in giving. And there are others who say, well, you know, his hand is always in his pocket. you wouldn't see that anyway. You know, so even in Arabic, you know, these words are used. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of the ayat of Quran, talking about Bani Israel, the Yahud in Medina, that they say that, you know, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَطَانَ. Allah's hands are tight. You know, he doesn't give out that easily. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't like it at all. You know, although we don't have any expression to the words, but it seems he was so angry, he says, no, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَطَانَ. He says, no, both of my hands are open. Now, first was only one, now this is two hands are open. In a sense, Allah is saying that, you know, I am most generous. And I give to everyone. Even, you know, when we talk about a human being, when we are talking about the first phase in the womb of the mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the raziq through the mother. You know, even when you look at the animals, a simple ant, the rizq reaches to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-basit bil-juda yadahu الذي لا تنقص خوائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العداء أطاء إلا جودا وكرما. He is the one whose treasures never decreases. You know, when we start giving things in charity, we say, well, you know, my bank balance is going down. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing like that, you know, his treasure is going to be empty one day. No, rather, الذي وَلَا تَزِيدُهُ كَثْرَةُ الْعَطَاءِ إِلَّا جُودًا وَكَرَمًا. The more he gives, you know, it increases his generosity and kindness. Why? إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْوَحَّابِ. Because he is ample giving, he is the mighty and the generous.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how?
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Last week, Iran, Russia, and China kicked off their annual naval drills in the northern Indian Sea, specifically the Gulf of Oman, to ensure maritime security and combat piracy, the theme of the joint operation being creating peace and security together. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. Press TV noted, the drills continued for 4 days and the three regional stalwarts and all-weather allies executed a variety of different combat scenarios, testing new weaponry, vehicles, and other technology in a coordinated fashion. Scenarios included daytime and nighttime artillery strikes, aerial drone exercises, sea-to-air and sea-to-land combat scenarios, rescue missions, and vessel acquisitions. The joint naval exercises also did not pull any of their punches. All three countries deployed some of their most sophisticated vessels and weapons. Near Iran's strategic Chabahar port, one could see the Russian guided missile cruiser Varyag and the frigate Marshal Shaposhinskov, China's People's Liberation Army's guided missile-equipped destroyer Urumqi, and frigate Lini, as well as an assortment of Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC, and Army's vessels and helicopters, including the recently debuted Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis warship. together over 20 ships, simulated multiple combat scenarios through the week as the sound of heavy machine gun cannons on helicopters and artillery shells hitting land targets filled the air. Since 2019, these three countries have been frequently conducting naval drills to establish a security belt within the region, the northern part of the Indian Ocean, specifically the Gulf of Oman, the Arabian Sea, and the Strait of Hormuz, represents a strategic transport corridor of goods that the entire world relies on, the most important being oil. Hundreds of millions of dollars worth of exports navigate through these waterways daily, and any degree of instability within these transport corridors would directly impact the global economy. Pertinently, the region has seen its share of piracy, often sanctioned by or conducted directly by the United States and its not-so-shadowy allies. Further, the U.S. aggressive and reckless conduct often attempts to challenge the territorial integrity of countries such as Iran, which has a legitimate claim to significant portions of the Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf. Leaving the security of the region to such malign foreign interference is akin to handing over control of the world's most precious resources to an unpredictable and decaying imperialist power. Thus, the security built between a rising regional power such as Iran and established superpowers such as China and Russia is a look into the future of international security. These naval drills are not a show of force or muscle flexing as often, for example, NATO-led drills are, which are always offensive and hostile in nature. The Iran-Russia-China naval alliance's drills present a promise of rapidly expanding multipolar world order where respect for sovereignty and win-win scenarios become the norm. Defense is guaranteed through diplomatic and military solutions, and unipolar-led order where only the wealthy imperialist ruler class of the United States benefit is firmly rejected. Speaking to reporters, Iranian top naval commander Shahram Irani says, "The north of the Indian Ocean hosts three strategic straits, Hormuz, Bab al-Mandab, al-Malacca, together forming the triangle of global trade. Therefore, the security of this region is of paramount importance for the world." This could not be truer. U.S. warships litter the region around the Indian Ocean and have engaged in hostile acts on behalf of the Zionist regime, while they'll politically protect them and military arm as the Gaza genocide rages on, killing more than 31,700 people already. Since November of last year, Yemeni military operations began to target Zionist-linked ships in response to the Gaza genocide, effectively enforcing a blockade in the Bab al-Mandab Strait and the Red Sea. Yemen vowed to continue to target these ships as long as the genocide continued and aid was not let into Gaza, shutting down the Zionist regime's port of Eilat, costing the Zionist regime billions of dollars and forcing countries willing to trade with the Zionist regime to either navigate around Africa or take a land bridge set up by the treacherous Arab countries such as Jordan and the UAE. It is worth noting that these operations could stop the moment the Gaza genocide stops. However, the U.S. insists on arming the Zionist regime and doubling down by protecting its economy with warships such as USS Kearney and USS Mason being deployed in the Bab al-Mandab Strait. Beginning in January, the U.S. and the U.K., along with the help of some Arab countries, including the UAE, began to bomb Yemen in an attempt to deter the heroic operations in solidarity with the Palestinian cause. U.S. destroyers have since been targeted in the region's waters. Despite the U.S.-led bombings, Yemen has not been deterred, announcing last Friday that their operations against the Zionist ships will extend into the entire Indian Ocean. The U.S. regime has provided security for the ships associated with the Zionist regime, but has repeatedly failed as ships continue to be targeted, including the British container Ruby Mar, which sank earlier this month.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 23, 2015 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with government officials on the occasion of the month of Ramadan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master and Prophet, Abul Qasim al-Mustafa, Muhammad, and upon his immaculate, pure, and chosen household, especially the one remaining with Allah on earth. O God, make our tongues firm with sawab and with wisdom. One issue that is repeated in the prayers of the auspicious month of Ramadan is drawing people's attention to the worlds after this material world, the world of death, the world of the grave, the world of the judgment day, and one's difficulties in facing divine calculations and divine questioning. This is one of the issues that exist in the prayers of the auspicious month of Ramadan. A factor that helps us control and monitor this is attention to these worlds. Paying attention to this is very important for us officials who have certain responsibilities.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
When we understand, not the weight of an atom becomes absent from him, the Holy Quran, chapter 34, verse 3, that no small move, action, and statement will escape the eyes of divine calculators after our death, and that we will be questioned about all these things. This will deeply affect our behavior, our statement, and our moves. We read in the Holy Dua of Abu Hamza, bestow mercy on me when I am on the verge of dying, and when the hands of my dear ones turn me over in my bed. This condition occurs to many people. Perhaps many people have witnessed this moment when one is on the verge of dying. You and I cannot do anything at that moment when no one is closer to us than God. And we are nearer to him than you, but you see not. The Holy Quran, chapter 56, verse 85. At that moment, no one and nothing can save us from the precipice that is ahead of us except for good deeds and divine blessings.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens